alcohol abuse in the workplace may be found to be a dismissible offense. Although this can be viewed to be an individual's problem, it can also affect an employee's performance, resulting in absenteeism, accidents, illness, and mortality, all of which could add to the employer's cost. Tonight, we are joined by labor analyst Bugani Mngoma to speak on this. Welcome, Bugani.
Thanks for having me on your program.
Yeah. Now, Bugani, this is an extremely important topic, and I think the first question that I'd like to ask you is, how does substance abuse ultimately affect the workplace, and can this obviously be calculated in monetary terms in terms of what that cost could possibly be?
I think the first part of it, because it's alcoholic abuse, it's not your normal, you know, consumption of alcohol, because remember, alcohol is allowable to be consumed at a reasonable rate.
Yeah.
Once it is alcoholic abuse and you are in the workplace, the first issue that becomes a problem for the employer is the absenteeism. Because
yes,
it basically means that the chances of an employee not being at work are higher as a result of alcohol abuse.
Mm.
Now, operationally, that means that the employer will not be able to rely on the presence of an employee, and that in itself will affect the operation of the organization. It also has an impact on the other employees, the core employees.
Yeah.
If, for example, the employer is not doing anything about it, because if it becomes a sickness, then it is the responsibility of the employer to assist the employee in terms of what they call wellness programs.
Mm-hmm.
But the employee himself or herself must first admit that he or she has a problem with alcohol. And then what it means that the employer will then have to find some programs in which the employee can be assisted. And if that helps, then it basically means that the employee is rehabilitated and goes back to work. However, if interventions like rehabilitative interventions do not work, then the employer has no option but to actually subject such employee to normal disciplinary inquiries, which might eventually lead to the employee being dismissed, either on the basis of misconduct in the event that the employee came to work drunk, or alternatively on the basis of illness, if, for example, the employee is no longer that he came to work drunk, but it is so much in his bloodstream that, you know, it's a disease. Now, obviously, it's far easier to dismiss an employee for misconduct as opposed to a disease. So the employer will have to be a little bit more careful in how they handle an employee who is suffering from alcoholism as opposed to an employee who comes to work on Monday drunk, and then on Tuesday he's not drunk, until the end of Friday he's not drunk. It's just that he might have overdrunk a weekend before. So you treat it differently from a sickness point of view. But it has a direct cost implication from an operation point of view, because one person is no longer available, so other employees then will have to pick up, you know, the task of that particular employee, and that might create unhappiness and dissatisfaction when some employees now need to do more than their normal duties, and that creates tension between those employees who are now supposed to pick work up and the employee who is seen to be not recovering from an alcoholic abuse. So it is a major issue. And employers, but the difficulty with employers is that when you go to the CCMA and you have dismissed an employee on the basis of alcoholism, which is more of a sickness than being drunk, you know, then it's an uphill battle for the employer, because he will be asked as to what is it that you do to assist the employee. So even those employees who abuse alcohol, the employer needs to determine as to whether it is not just a once-off drunkenness, or it is just a normal alcoholic problem, which then fits into what we call an alcohol abuse.
Now, Bugani, you obviously mentioned that for those who are already then abusing alcohol, there are wellness programs that the employer can avail to these employees. But what about an employer, or should I say, what measures can an employer put in place to assist in the prevention and possibly the control of alcohol abuse?
I think it will be more educational because, remember, the wellness program the employer needs to put in place, it needs to have what we call preventative and rehabilitative interventions. So the rehabilitative intervention is almost like the train has passed the station, so the employer needs to deal with the fact that he did not provide the preventative measures. So at a starting point for any employer is to create awareness around the issue of alcohol, the same way as the issue of smoking, you know. So employers need to have programs which will then, those employees who want, for example, to quit smoking or who want to quit alcohol, need to be able to be assisted by the employer. So that basically means programs. You know, you will have like anti-alcohol week in a calendar of a year. Then maybe they should do some activities around that. And also doing surveys to find out as to whether employees have difficulties with alcohol abuse. If you find that, yes, there are employees, then you could then have targeted interventions in order to make sure that you deal with it before it becomes a problem, which then means that the employer needs to take more stringent step against the employee. So the preventative part is more creating awareness around the dangers of alcohol abuse, because then you say to the employee, well, we can be able to assist you, but you can do it this far. After that, we have no option but to make sure that we protect the business, the image of the business, and also the morale of other employees, because we don't want a situation where other employees believe that because other people are abusing alcohol, then, you know, tasks suddenly fall on their laps for them to complete, and that actually overburdens them. So you may create a situation where you're trying to assist an employee who's alcoholic or abusing alcohol, but at the same time you need to look at what is the impact of that assistance if it is continued for a long time on those employees who are not having the same problem, because the morale, you still want the morale for even those employees who are prepared to assist, but it cannot be a permanent feature that they will pick up the responsibility for those who are abusing alcohol.
It is Taking Care of Business on Rise FM as we discuss alcohol abuse in the workplace with labor analyst Bugani Mgoma. Now, Bugani, how does then an organization go about developing an alcohol policy for the workplace? And is there certain information or procedures that would need to be included in such a document?
Yeah, I think obviously there will be two aspects. The first one will be that broad framework in terms of alcohol policies, what happens if you have a problem. Yeah. And then the other part is procedure part. That, in the event that you have this is the first person that you need to talk to. Usually the employee supervisor is the last person to talk to when an employee has an alcohol problem, because he's less likely to listen to that. So that's why then you have what we call wellness managers, you know, where employees can be able to go there, and these people are trained to be able to keep confidentiality of information. So employees can be able to go there. But some employers, what they do is that instead of having an in-house wellness program, just to make sure that they protect confidentiality, they have what we call an external wellness program, where the employee will then go there and attend programs. Obviously, the supervisor will have to be aware, because he or she needs to be aware as to where the employee is. What about, you know, the 2 hours that the employee is taking every week to attend the wellness program? But it depends. You know, some employers believe that you need to have it in-house in terms of the procedure and the processes. Others believe that, no, you need to take it outside so that you can then protect the employee. So there's a policy part of it, but there is also a procedure part of it. But the last part is consequence management, which means that in the event that everything else fails, then the employee needs to be aware that the consequences are dire, which may even include demotion. If it begins to impact on his or her performance, it might include demotion, even dismissal. Obviously, that would be the most extreme, you know, an employer can do. But the employer, even at the CCMA, will have to show that they actually assisted the employee who are facing alcohol abuse.
Now, you know, it becomes very difficult, this thing, and I know maybe for you as well, it might be difficult to be able to answer this question, you know, Bugani. But, I mean, how, let's say you're in an entity and you're in an organization. I mean, how, how difficult is it to be able to identify that an employee does in fact have an alcohol problem? And obviously I think you partly answered this before. What remedial, you know, steps can be implemented? Firstly, you know, because you'd like to think that you can assist a person, to be able to assist that particular individual who might have this particular alcohol problem as well within the workplace.
I think the first part is policy development.
Yeah.
You need to have a policy in place, which then begins to set out exactly what are the objectives of the policy. You might find that the objective of the policy is not necessarily to get to people to quit alcohol,
yeah,
but is to know the dangers of alcohol and also the possible impact on their performance and also on their social being. Because remember, if it affects you at a social level, the likelihood is that it's going to impact on your workplace relationship. So what the employer then does is to be able to develop this policy, and within that policy, he then puts measures that assist the employee. And that's how you identify. But also confidentiality is very key.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying part of the, once you have put the policy in place, and then part of the measures to assist the employee will then include this program, what they call wellness program. Either the employer makes it in-house or actually externalize it for confidentiality purposes. But identifying an employee, if you externalize the intervention, it might be easier for employees to relate with an outsider,
mm-hmm.
Because they know that confidentiality is more protected than an employee who's within the organization, because you start having corridor talk about you know, this employee having an alcohol problem, he's abusing his partner, which is what happened at home, but it starts becoming discussed in the corridor. So the confidentiality of the employee is not respected. So it is important then that when the employer has put up a policy, and even in that policy, it needs to be indicated that should you fail to avail yourself if you believe that you have these problems, then you cannot be able at a later stage where the employer takes action against you to use alcohol abuse as a defense.
Mm-hmm.
That because then the employer said, well, but our policy is very clear. We said people need to be able to voluntarily come, or even if they are not wanting to do it within the workplace, here is an organization external that we are paying to assist our employees. And you did not avail yourself, and now there's a disciplinary inquiry, then you start saying, well, I did not know. Then the employer said, well, but the policy was well advertised. You've got diagrams in corridors, in canteens, where you're creating this awareness and the dangers of alcohol. So I think you need to create an environment within as an employer that will make sure that it keeps reminding employees that alcohol abuse is a danger too. It might also lead to you losing your job.
Yeah. Now, you know, obviously, I mean, I think you've touched on the fact that the major consequence is the fact that a person can lose their job as well. But I mean, if you look at it, what kind of disciplinary procedures would be available to a potential employer in such a situation? And from our labor laws, would that be allowed, Bugani, to or justified for you to be able to get rid of an employee that has been found in transgression of those particular policies?
Yeah, as I said, I mean, there will be two categories. The first one will be a misconduct, which means that in terms of the law, an employee is entitled to dismiss an employee on the basis of misconduct.
Yeah.
Now, a misconduct one, well, that relates to alcohol, is very easy and simple, because what normally do happen is that some employers will, for example, have a breathalyzer test.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then when an employee came on Monday or a day after payday or a day after a holiday and the employee is drunk, then the breathalyzer test picks that one up. The employee stopped. He goes home. He's given 2 days. But then following the next 3 days, then he needs to come and attend the disciplinary inquiry. In that instance, you came to work drunk. So you're going to be charged for misconduct. It's not the issue of it being a disease to you. It's just that you came. You know that you're not supposed to come to work drunk, but you came to work drunk. But then you have a second category, which now we call alcoholism, which then becomes a disease. So it cannot be treated as a misconduct, you know. It's a person that you know that this person used to perform, you know, but for some reason lately, you know, the person is not coming at work in time, he's not completing his task, and you can even see at the behavior that it has changed. But the employee is not drunk, you know, he passes the breathalyzer test, you know, in that, you know, the limit that is there, he passes it. But you can see that this employee is really not the same employee that he or she used to be maybe a month ago. Then you pick up that it is more the issue of a disease as opposed to a once-off misconduct. It's almost like he's drunk.
But you
might find that he is not drunk. You know, he didn't drink today, but he looks drunk and he behaves drunk because the alcohol is in the blood system. So it is now a disease. Yeah, it's now a disease. Now, once it is that case, then it becomes doubly difficult for the employer to treat the employee the same way as the person that was picked up by the breathalyzer on Monday because he overdrank a weekend before. So in that instance, there is more elaborate process that the employer must follow. The first one being the question that the CCMA will ask, what measures or programs did you implement to assist the employee? Because it is clear that this is sickness. Mm. Now, as an employer, you need to say, well, this is what we have in an in-house program, wellness program, or external wellness program. An employee is given an hour per week to be able to consult, and he did not do that. And the employee actually denied that he has got a problem. So on those basis, then the employer would then say, well, I've done everything that I could do as an reasonably do as an employer, and there is no way that I'm going to take this employee back because it affects my operation. So basically what it means is that you could be dismissed or fired on the basis of either it is a misconduct or it is a disease. It's just that when it is a disease, the employer must climb Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Whereas when it is a misconduct, the employer must climb Kilimanjaro.
That is,
so you can see the difference between the two.
Yeah, that is a perfect characterization of that. But Bugani, I want to say thank you so much for joining us this evening. I think the information that you've given us has obviously given us a lot to ponder, especially around this particular issue, which is extremely important. And I think a lot of employers would appreciate it. Please, sir, enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks a lot, man.
And that was Labour Analyst Bugani Mngoma on alcohol abuse in the workplace. You are listening to Taking Care of Business on Rise FM.